When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. And I want you to know that today's program features my son and co-host Zach Clinton, who's a licensed counselor in residence in the state of Virginia. And he's speaking with Deb Folletta. She's an amazing author. And by the way, she's a licensed professional counselor in Pennsylvania. Deb is a special friend to the AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors. She speaks at a number of our events. If you ever have a chance to hear her speak, hey, do it. But until then, we have this amazing, uplifting conversation to share with you. Deb's new book is called Soul Care, and it's about life-giving rhythms that you can harness, how to love Jesus better, how to avoid burnout. Hey, for such a time as this in this fast-paced culture, you're going to love it. Let's join them now.
Ms. Deborah, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's always good to be here with you, Zach.
I'm so grateful for your time, just your willingness to come. We're here in Pennsylvania, your hometown. So grateful to be here. We've done everything that there could possibly be known as Hershey. Hershey Pantry, Hershey Park, made our own Hershey bars.
It's been fun.
A blast being here for this Extraordinary Women event, Deborah. But as we begin today, we're going to be unpacking your newest book, Soul Care. Find life-giving rhythms, live restored, avoid burnout, and discover unspeakable joy. I can't wait to dive into the book. But up front, You are a licensed professional counselor. You're a nationally well-known speaker, a best-selling author, podcast host of Talk to Me with Deborah Folletta. Deborah, first and foremost, what is the most exciting thing that you have in your bucket list coming up here pretty quick?
You know, what's interesting about that is I personally have a tendency to always think ahead about what's next and what's what am I doing next? What's God doing next? But listen, Zach, this is from the bottom of my heart. I have felt lately that, especially as I've been writing the message of soul care and marinating in it, that God has said to me, I want you to focus on what's now.
Amen.
Not what's next. What's now? What's in front of you right now to enjoy and savor? I'm in a season where I have a child in each stage of life. We have a toddler, an elementary schooler, a middle schooler, and a high schooler.
Oh my goodness.
John and I have been married for 17 years. Yes. And, you know, life comes with ups and downs, with joys and struggles. But I have really been being intentional to savor what's in front of me today and what God is doing. And so I know there's a lot coming up ahead and different projects, kids' books and other books coming up in the future. But what I really am trying to do is just savor what's now and what's in front of me today. And so it's been a good practice.
You know, today we're going to be talking about, like we talked about, your newest book, Soul Care. We talk about this all the time in the field of psychology,
right,
especially in the Christian psychology field. We give it a lot of emphasis. We're not always the best at it. Caring for the soul.
Right.
What does that actually mean to you, Deborah?
Yeah. You know, I first want to differentiate between self-care and soul care. Mm. I think a lot of times we hear the word self-care and we're kind of thrown off by it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think a lot of Christians especially are repulsed by that word. There's an aversion to self-care because it's like, I don't want to focus on myself. Mm. And so what we do then is the opposite, where we self-neglect and we become empty. And empty people cannot continue to pour out. Empty people have nothing left to give. And ironically, when you self-neglect, you become so depleted and empty and bitter and resentful and irritable and depressed and anxious because you're depleted. And in those low points of life, oftentimes all you can think about is yourself.
Right.
So ironically, self-care or self-obsession, self-neglect, they all have the word self in them, right? And I think when culture defines self-care, they define it as a superficial, one-time act to put a Band-Aid on a pain point.
Right.
Like, I'm having a hard day, so I'm going to go get a manicure, or I'm going to go get a massage, or I'm going to take a hot bath. And not that those things are wrong. They're just not long-lasting.
Yeah.
They're quick fixes. They're superficial quick fixes to the underlying problem of burnout and emptiness. I call it the burnout cycle.
Yes.
So soul care is much deeper than that. Mm. Soul care is about finding these rhythms that will fill you up and keep you filled. Because isn't that what God desires?
Absolutely.
I mean, the Bible says that Jesus came to give us life abundant. Another translation says life in all of its fullness.
Wow.
But how many of us as believers really feel that?
Right.
I think the majority, and what I see as a licensed counselor, the majority, even people who are in high leadership positions, senior pastors, CEOs, are feeling empty and depleted. And I just don't believe that that's how God calls us to live. Mm-hmm. So soul care is really about six life-giving rhythms that aren't just founded by counseling and psychology.
Yeah.
They are also rooted in the life of Christ.
I tell you what, I think there is no greater time for this book than now. Because as I was doing the research on the book and I was looking it up, you have written about it, no question that we live in a fast-paced culture plagued with burnout, stress, and chronic fatigue. And as you mentioned, we often find that we're functioning out of emptiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we can all attest to this. I think about my own personal life. There are so many areas where I have felt depleted in the past because it's just like saying yes to everything, running.
Right.
And I want to dive into those six kind of rhythms that you found through the life of Christ. But before we get there, I'd be interested in understanding, you serving in the front lines, what are you seeing as some of the biggest contributing factors to this high level of stress and burnout? Because if you look at the statistics, Deborah, they're continuing to skyrocket, and I don't see it going anywhere quite soon.
Right. You know, I really believe that it comes down to our underlying belief systems. Mm. That's really what I'm seeing. You know, we could jump into these six rhythms and talk about them, but here's the thing. You can't just start practicing these six rhythms without getting to the root of your underlying belief systems that cause you to engage in the burnout cycle.
Yeah.
Why am I constantly here? Why am I feeling spread too thin? Why do I feel empty and depleted all the time? Why do I say yes to everything and have a hard time saying no? Why do I feel like I have to be the one to fill in the gaps and fix things? And, you know, where does that underlying belief system come from? So in fact, before I get into the six rhythms and soul care, I actually spend the first five chapters talking about the why. Mm. Why do you struggle with this to begin with? And I think there's a combination of things. The first would be theologically. We have these underlying belief systems theologically that aren't accurate to scripture. Mm. We believe things that aren't true of what the Bible says.
Yeah.
We think that self-neglect is righteous. So there's a lot of theological tweaks that have to happen in seeing scripture for what it is, and I get into those. But what I want to focus on in this conversation are the psychological tweaks. Mm. So many of us carry roles from childhood and beliefs from childhood that play out in how we live our life even after we come to Jesus. Mm. It was really interesting, Zach. I have a podcast that you know about called Talk to Me.
Yes.
It's on-air counseling sessions with all kinds of people, from leaders to hotline callers. And I did a soul care series. We're in the middle of it right now, where we talk, have people come on and talk about which of the rhythms they're struggling with the most and why. Mm. And it was fascinating. Three personality types came up to the surface of people who struggle the most with soul care, people who struggle the most being aware of their needs.
Yeah.
The first were firstborns.
Mm.
In fact, I dedicated this book to my daughter because she's a firstborn.
Yeah.
And so am I. But firstborns often have that tendency to be overly responsible.
Yep.
They want to please. They want to do well. They want people to be happy. They want to fill in the gaps. Mm. And so they have that tendency to take on more than their fair share. Mm. And then their needs get put on the back burner, right? And in counseling, we often say behind every people pleaser was once a parent pleaser.
That's very true.
Right? So it's like all of these things that we bring to the table, and later in life we become people pleasers and we want to please everyone and make everyone happy at the expense of our own needs. Mm. So that's the first personality type. Mm. The second personality type that came to the surface is somebody that grew up in a home where there was much higher needs. Mm. So maybe it was a sibling who was really rebellious or a dysfunctional situation, chaos, arguments, parents who got a divorce and there was a lot of yelling and screaming, an illness of some sort of an addiction or disability or whatever. And so when I look around at my family and there's much higher needs all around me, my tendency is to lower my needs to keep equilibrium. It's like there's not enough space in this equation for my needs. So what do? I decrease my needs. I ignore my needs. That was the second type of person. The third type were people who had parents who were not available for their needs. The word frazzled mom came up multiple times in my interviews, which I found fascinating.
Yeah.
Mom was so frazzled and overwhelmed and stressed. Dad was unavailable, drunk, workaholic, out of touch. And so I, as a kid, I have these needs. Do I go to mom? No, she's way too stressed.
Yeah.
Do I go to dad? No, he's uninterested, unavailable. So what do I do with my needs? I stuff them.
Mm.
And some people are listening and they're like, I can check off all three boxes.
Right?
But these are what shape our underlying belief systems. Mm. Beliefs like, I have to be the one to fix the chaos. I have to be the one to fill in the gaps. There's not enough room here for my needs. My needs are not as important as the needs of others. And so we have these underlying belief systems that then fuel how we function.
Yeah.
So if you're in a life pattern of burnout, I can guarantee you there are some underlying belief systems that are aligned to your trauma over God's truth.
Wow.
And so we have to get to some of those roots. That's why counseling, as you know, is such a crucial part. For many people, it's like they don't know how to get to the roots. They don't know how to get to these underlying belief systems. And so that's what we as counselors are so privileged to be able to help people start to unpack. Where did these patterns begin and where did these belief systems develop? And how does the Lord want you to begin to align your beliefs with his truth over your trauma?
I tell you what, Deborah, I mean, so much truth that you just mentioned there. And as I was hearing those different kind of rhythms that I may be struggling with in my own personal life, being vulnerable, I find myself in that people-pleasing bucket quite often, right? Saying yes to people, almost developing like this Messiah-like complex where I feel guilty if I say no to somebody, or I feel like that could ruin or tarnish kind of the relationship with someone, all of these different things come into play. But then I think of like the lies of the enemy. If Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. I think of, you know, my dad always says the modern day definition of the word tragedy is becoming good at the things that really don't matter. And I start to look at the different areas of my life that take an expense or a shortcoming because of I'm trying to push in all of these different areas of my life. So this is such a pertinent conversation for so many of us. And I think the reason why some of us struggle, especially with burnout and stress, and it continues to build and raise in our life, is because either we don't give it attention, number one, or we have a lack of awareness of it in our lives entirely.
Yeah.
How do they begin to know? Like, where are the red flags, the warning signs, the signals that, hey, maybe burnout and stress is right around the corner for you?
Yeah. Real quick, I want to touch on that Messiah complex that you mentioned, because I think many people who are burnt out consider themselves servers.
Yes, absolutely.
They serve, they give, they care for others. So it doesn't feel like a Messiah complex, because it's like, I am pouring out because I want to help. I want to be there for others. I want to help others. But what we don't realize is it takes humility to honor our capacity.
Amen.
It takes humility to say, I have limits, God-given limits. And if Jesus, who is fully God, yet fully man, honored, chose to honor the limits of his human capacity, as we'll see in these six rhythms, how much more do I have to honor my human capacity and realize the humility that it takes to say, Lord, this is all I have, and I'm trusting you to fill in the gaps. Mm. It's not my job to fill in the gaps. It's your job. All I have is these loaves and fish, and it's your job to multiply them. So there is a hint of pride in those of us who believe that we have what it takes to do it all.
Yes.
And it's just a matter of time until we crash.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time until we burn out. So signs of burnout, finding yourself saying things like, I'm so busy.
Yep.
My schedule is so full. Like when people ask you how you're doing, I'm so busy, so full. That's a good indicator that something's going on that shouldn't be going on.
Yeah.
And then start tuning into your body, feelings of fatigue, exhaustion, irritability, not having the excitement to do the things that you want to do, a lack of creativity. Mm. It's an indicator. Like, why? What am I trying to numb here? Because instead of numbing, we need to face it. And deal with it and heal it and begin to do things differently.
Mm. Such a powerful word about humility, right? That humility is like that accurate awareness of self.
Yeah.
Recognizing that we all have a limit to our level of capacity, as you mentioned. Man, I mean, every counselor needs a counselor. Deborah Falada may have just become my counselor.
Anytime,
that was powerful.
Zach, anytime. It would be my privilege.
I so appreciate that word. And just a midpoint reset here. I'm Zach Clinton, co-host here of Life, Love, Faith, and Family, joined by best-selling author Deborah Falada. She's also a licensed professional counselor. She's a renowned speaker. But today we're unpacking her newest book titled Soul Care. And we've been diving into just some of the challenges that people are up against when it comes to soul care, the difference between self-care and soul care, and the different rhythms that we can dive into. And that's kind of where I want to transition the conversation now. We've talked a lot about recognizing these things, the challenges that are up against us that are really in culture and society, moving the stress and the burnout levels to levels, honestly, we've never really seen before.
Yeah.
But you have identified six life-giving practices through the life of Jesus that we can begin implementing in our own lives today. I would love, Deborah, you don't have to give all six because we want people to read the book, we want them to buy the book, but what's one or two that you think are just pertinent for us to hear today?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you the most basic and then I'll tell you my favorite.
Yeah.
I would say starting with the rhythm of nourish. And nourish is about nutrition, hydration, and movement.
Mm.
And one of the chapters is called, It Might Not Be a Demon. It Might Just Be Dehydration.
Mm.
Because oftentimes we self-sabotage.
Yeah.
We neglect the temple that God has given us by fueling our bodies with unhealthy things, by neglecting to nourish our body, movement, all of those things that help our body run, we cannot go to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth when we're sick and tired and depleted because of our own self-neglect.
Yes.
And so it looks at the life of Christ in those three areas and how he invested in those things, what it looked like for him during that season of life, the science and neurology behind all of those things, hydration and nutrition, and how all of these affect our bodies. So nourish is a practice. Rest is a practice that we talk about, you know, how Jesus spent time resting. Jesus took naps. Our t-shirt that came out for the release of Soul Care says, Jesus took naps. Be more like Jesus. And it just talks about the Savior of the world. He only had 3 years to do ministry. He wasn't go, 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 hustle, 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 2 hours a night of sleep. He had a slower pace. He had rhythms of rest. He took naps. He had margin in his life. So that section talks about rest. There's a section called protect that talks about boundaries. There's a section called connect that talks about life-giving relationships. My favorite section is the section of savor. And it talks about the importance of being present, being aware. So it talks about mindfulness. It talks about gratitude. It talks about enjoying life. So all these different rhythms and just seeing them through the life of Christ just made them all the more beautiful, all the more real, all the more necessary. I think where we struggle is when we start to believe that soul care is a luxury rather than a necessity. And we get to that point where we're starting to see the signals. Our body's sending us all of these signals, and we just judge our body. We judge ourselves. Why am I so weak? Why can't I keep going? What's wrong with me? And we push through rather than pause to respond.
Wow.
And that's when things start to break down.
Deborah Folletti, you mentioned that soul care kind of self-assessment. You've mentioned the book. What is your website? Maybe that is the hub that we can find all of these things.
Yes, DeborahFolletta.com, DeborahFolletta, DeborahFolletta.com. You can find the book. You can find other books. You can find our counselors network. You can find quizzes. You can find resources, the podcast. And then the quiz is at DeborahFolletta.com/soulcarequiz. But all the resources are right there. I'm on Instagram. I love connecting with people on Instagram. That's the one social media that I actually am interacting and, you know, answering DMs and just being present with people. But DeborahFolletta.com is the main website.
Deborah Folletta, my friend, thank you just for your willingness to join me today, the wisdom that you always impart on me and countless others in the work that you allow God to do in and through your life. We appreciate you, ma'am.
Thank you, Zach. It's good to be here.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for The Center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The Center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in. Give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call The Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for The Center, a place of hope. The number is 888- 726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at The Center, a place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.